Continue in our teaching in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And the Spirit knows He's in control, and I praise Him how He knows how to speak to us, how the Spirit leads and guides, and how so often He confirms. You know, that is one of the main ways of knowing God's presence, knowing His will, is His confirmation. And God in His mercy and grace is going to confirm and confirm and confirm until it drops to the head, to the heart. And in His mercy and grace He does that, because everything that He does is by the Spirit. And man cannot know the things of the Spirit unless the Spirit reveals them and opens our eyes. This is why we stress so much that it's important that we are Spirit taught in this last day, and not just the mere letter. That has its place. But the Holy Spirit must teach. And I thought about this, and one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit must reveal, must teach, it's quite simple, really, and you probably know this one. But one of the reasons, and there are many, that He teaches by the Spirit, because we're all so diverse. We're all so different. We're all going through various different trials and tests. We're all coming through whatever. And so, because the Holy Spirit teaches like that, this is where He makes it personal to you. And this is where we get the relationship from, and this relationship inspires and encourages the bride in which she makes herself ready. And then of course He adds to that the gifts as well as our fellowship in order to do that. But isn't it wonderful? Now you see, the sad tragedy is that a lot who are simply taught by the letter, it's not enough. And this is why they can become religious. They take on these religious mindsets. They cannot really rightly divide the word of truth, because they are not in that place of testing, discerning. They think they are. They think the word of God will do that. If the word of God itself would do that, then most of the world would be converted. But they're not. Because you have to have the Spirit. And you have to be of the Spirit. And of course we see that right through from Old Testament to New Testament. Those who are of the Spirit are the ones who walk in the ways of the Lord. And so, if you are simply holding on to the mere letter of the word, that will always eventually minister to the intellect and the intellect pride. And so, sadly, with the pride that is so prevalent, God has to repel, has to push it away. As we all know in our own lives where we have come through and God's been dealing and still dealing, is with pride. At that point, when pride is present, we are not hearing, we're not seeing. God can't touch us in that area until often our trials bring us to the end of ourself, and then the eyes are open in order to receive the Spirit to bring deliverance, change. Now, we've been talking about being strengthened in the inner man. And here we come now to probably one of the greatest statements under New Covenant. I don't honestly think you could better this. And we'll read it again just to remind ourselves as we come into this. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here the apostle, in his prison environment, in bonds, is revealing by the Spirit what real unity, fellowship with each other and with the Godhead is about. And as I said, I think this is probably one of the greatest statements under the New Covenant. And all of this is with his prayers. All of this is that he's not able to get with them physically. He's not able to rely, like so often preachers are, on the unction of the anointing and a congregation of people before you to minister that word. No, no, not at all. This is coming out of bonds. This is coming out of deep trial. This is coming out of the fact that he might possibly not be free from this experience. He could die where he was. All of that. Don't think for one moment that he didn't think about those things. His mind was going on those things. Of course it was, the same as we would. And we also have to remember that he's praying here for converted pagans. Remember, most of these people, Ephesus, are pagan. Seared. A lot of them are slaves. A lot of them are nobodies. So, you know, there's nothing much to elevate in themselves. And they're probably receiving revelation that is way over their heads. But as they take it away and start praying as a church, then the Spirit begins to reveal. And you have to learn this principle, that many times in our meetings, when we come together, we're actually finding, and it's humbling, that a lot of this actually goes over our heads. Because all the while you're trying to understand it in the intellect, you have missed it. And that is why it is so vital that we take these nuggets of truth away and pray them through. The Lord, give me the understanding. Give me the experience of what I've just heard. Come out, those profound words. We won't know otherwise. We're simply going to be like so many. It'll just go over our heads. And we know the analogy of those that hear and those that don't. Two people walking on a railway line. voice says, a train's coming. One gets off, the other stays on. That is being fulfilled around us all the time. It is how we hear. And you know, the Spirit was speaking today something very important for us. We have got to learn that praise, worshipping God, is the fundamental key to receiving all these truths.
Amen.
To bring us to an understanding.
Yeah.
It elevates us into God's presence where we can be touched. The mind can be touched. And he said that it's in praise and worship. It's not how we feel. It's not what we've gone through. I didn't feel like coming today to preach the word. Praise God, the Lord has got me here. Because in the natural I should be in bed. It wasn't very well. But God knows. And I said, Lord, this is dependent not just on my faith, not just the word, but my praise. And up went those hands. Did I feel like it? No. And started to praise and worship him. And I said, Lord, it's not because I had to do it. It's because I want to do it.
Amen.
That's what I want from you to accept. And he's strengthened me. He's enabled me to be able to deliver what I believe the Spirit has given to me. You see, we need to learn that as the Spirit is weakening us, by the cross we take up daily, our trials, where we're being weakened in the flesh, in the intellect, all the time, God isn't going to minister to it, he isn't going to elevate it. Therefore, everything within me says, I am, because of that state, because of what the Spirit is doing, crucifying me, I am utterly dependent on worship and praise for that strength in weakness. And I pick up here the apostle bowing his knees to the Father in fetters, in chains, and raising up a storm in those horrendous conditions. And they're pretty awful. I remember when I was in Jerusalem, we were taken to a dungeon, an imprisonment, and it was supposed to be the place where our Lord was whipped 39 times with stripes. I'll never forget those conditions. I'll never forget the holes that were in the rocks where they would tie the arms up to the victim. And there they would lacerate their backs. It was the nearest place to hell. And then, of course, you go further down into the rocks where, of course, they were then the dungeons and they were kept rat-infested and so forth. We haven't a clue. I couldn't stay in there. I had to come out, the tears. And here this man is probably praying one of the greatest revelations for the church. That she may dwell in unity. That they will do this in faith. And that they will be rooted in that agape love. And with that, that they will be able to comprehend with all the saints. Not just those that were alive, but all those that have gone on before. And all those, if the Lord tarries, will come. As I said last week, we're beginning to understand this is our Father's family. And our Father takes great delight over his family. And he is very protective and he is very jealous over it. The same as you can see that in nature. When you see animals look after their young ones, very often they're very, very protective. And so our Father has that parental care, love and protection over us. And he wants you and I to experience this. And so often we're trying to experience it by quoting the word. And if I quote this 100 times, I will experience. And have you done that, found that? No, you haven't. And it's not to say the word is not important. We sadly at times tried formulas, but the formulas didn't work. We actually resisted the very thing that we probably knew in our heart that God wanted, and that is, you come and worship me. Oh, no way. Can't do that. The day I've had, you know. And so we wallow in it. And it brings us down. And it brings us into its depression. And then our confession starts to change. And then all the bondage that goes with it. And it takes the grace and mercy of God to finally bring us to the ends of ourselves, and we come back. And what do we come back to? You are going to praise and worship me. I'm not going to minister and pamper to your childish behaviour. And he doesn't. Not now, because we're growing into sons. And I want to look at that later on. But he's praying for converted Christians who've come out of paganism, slaves, and that they would experience the highest goal of the Christian walk. And this probably is the highest goal here of the Christian walk. That I might know God. That I might not only know him, but experience him. Because this is what it's all about. This isn't appealing to the intellectual. This isn't stimulating students in a theological college. This is something that you know, you experience.
Yeah.
Being spirit taught. We note he's praying for their spiritual and not their physical well-being. There were places, yes, and the apostle did pray. Yes, he did pray for the sick, but so often in his writings, you see, it's not for the physical well-being, it is for the spiritual. It is for the inner man. And we now, haven't we, settled to the fact that the Lord is more interested in the inner man than our physical. But it doesn't mean to say that he ignores our physical, because he has said, hasn't he, that we seek the kingdom of God first. All these things will be added unto you. God is going to bring you and I to a place where you won't be praying for these things anymore. Because you have seen that the inner man and what God is doing with the inner man is far greater and bigger. I am finding, praise God, I don't seek God now about, shall I do this, shall I buy that, shall I, you know, everything, you know, was committed. And the Bible does say, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That is what your prayer life is for. That's what you get in the closet for. And it's not to say sometimes you don't commit a thing. But the point is, there are some, oh no, I'll give you an answer in a second, hang on a minute, wait, I've got to go and commit it to the Lord. And 9 times out of 10 they've not heard from the Lord, it's only their emotions have gone with it. We've all done it. Why? Because we're not experiencing the inner man being strengthened. What is the Spirit? He is the Spirit of truth. And therefore, everything he leads and guides us into is in truth for blessing. You see, in the past we started with the material. We started, you know, we're all keen and prosperity and God blessing and so forth. And it has its place. As I always say, the Spirit knew what he was doing. God knew exactly what to do with us, what teaching we needed, but we're growing up. And we betrayed a lot also about ourselves in our early days, didn't we? We actually were revealing an awful lot about ourselves, including myself. And a lot of what we were exposing was ambition, our circumstances, your body, affairs, church politics. But all of that doesn't necessarily strengthen the inner man. It doesn't. And we all have those sides in us that, you know, I'm claiming this and this is my testimony and everything, and God blessed it. I'm not saying he didn't. But you can't survive on that. The body of Christ, the bride that makes herself ready, she can't be perfected and matured by that. That is the whole point. You see, a life filled with God enables us to stand and overcome. And prayer is essential for this, because we're going to stand against the adversary. So when I say that we stand, we are filled with the life of God, we're not just filled with his word, because if it was just his word, we would have been raptured, taken. We're filled with him. That is the point. Who is the word? Who is love? Who is our Father? Who is everything? You are filled with him. And the word is part of that. You see. And unless lives are touched by the presence and power of God, then there's no hope. And that is why I always hold to the greater works. Because the greater works come out of the church that has been touched by the presence of God in the inner man.
Glory.
And out of it just flows those rivers of living water. Why? Because God is so big.
Amen.
So big. But prayer is essential for this. And we will stand against the adversary if we've also got this prayer life. You see, Paul isn't going to, he's going to the source. He's going to the inner man. And often the inner man is connected with our prayer life. I have found, I know I've said this before, I'm going to say this again, and I'm not going to apologize, but those I've counseled, those who said they can't go on any longer or want to leave the body, I will always go to the root of it pretty quickly, and I say, what is your prayer life? Well, you know, there it is. Every time. Every time. You cannot rely on anybody else praying for you. God wants to hear from you. He wants you in the closet. Not the wife praying on behalf of you, which sometimes happens. And I know, you know, life gets more and more hectic. I have never experienced over the last 6 months where I have been attacked in the area of prayer. Never like I have. To just get that quality time before God. And I've at times had to just say, Father, you know all things. You know my heart. You know I am not satisfied with this. But there's sometimes I can't, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. Now, God is also teaching you something through that. What I believe he's teaching me is that life isn't always you getting into your closet and seeking God when you want. Life also has responsibilities. Life has commitments. And you are committed. You are committed to the body. You are committed to the saints. You are committed to the ministry. It isn't just something that, you know, you knock off in 5 minutes. It's a consecration. I had a very blessed call the other day. And I won't go into details, but the Lord knows sometimes what you need to hear. You need to hear for the body. And words were in effect, Pastor, the teaching that comes out in the body through you teachers, I can't speak for the rest, but I can only speak for myself. I know that that has cost. I know that that has not come cheap. Not at the level of what we're having, and I just want to encourage and thank Jesus for faithful souls. You know, that's all you need to hear sometimes. And it lifts it all. It just lifts you up. It brings you back into focus. What it's all about. You know? And Not that we're now looking for that, not that we're asking, putting a pressure on you, please. I think we know where we're coming from. I'm simply saying how God has blessed us.
Yes.
And what he's doing. And it's equally the same. I know that you're coming. I know that your being here at times costs you. You're committed. Family. Jobs. Various things like that. I know that what God is birthing through this body doesn't come cheap. And therefore it has to be God who reveals these things by the Spirit. Let's turn to Proverbs 23, verse 7. You know this well. And here he says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." You see, the inner man is the heart. And it is out of the heart are the issues of life, as the scriptures tell us. We also see something of this in Proverbs 4, verse 23. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, in which he says, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you, and let your eyes look straight ahead." The working in the inner man, what the Apostle Paul is praying here, for the saints, for these pagans that have been converted, is that they put away all perverse things, all things that do not edify and glorify and build the body of Christ. And we all still fall victim to it. And we all at times try to spiritualize it as though God's blessing it. And I've had to go away and say, "Lord, that was nothing but gossip, criticism. It's wrong." Many times we don't actually need to say an awful lot. We still need to know intellectually. We need to know the ins and outs and all the gory details. And that enables me to be able to pray effectively. You won't. You won't pray. Unless you pray by the inner man, unless you pick up what the Spirit is saying about that person you're praying for, you will never know how to pray for them properly. You will always interpret it in the flesh. And it might well be right in the flesh, but it doesn't make it right spiritually. Thank God for this. Thank God that he has the final say, and not man or the church. Christians are wonderful at mowing themselves down with a machete or machine gun or whatever. We're brilliant. We thrive on it. And then when we see them fall, then we feel sorry. I feel really awful. Well, I hope you do. Hope you do. Because I've gone through it. That wasn't of God. That's not my Heavenly Father. That's not how he works. No, there's still a lot we need to learn. And so you see, this is the message of the deeper life. We fall or stand, not because of the temptations, but what is in the heart. Because it's what governs the heart. As Nehemiah says in 8:10, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." That is showing what is in the heart. We again heard it by prophecy. You stand or fall by what is in your heart, not by how much you know or of the word. And it has its place. And we know it by what comes out of our mouth. And we're still hearing fear, unbelief, that what if it comes out of our mouth. And God has permitted and allowed some things over the last 6 months in this body to expose that very thing. I know, because he's doing it in me. He's doing it in me. I now have come to a place where, yes, I've got the word, I know what the word says about healing, by stripes I've healed, but I've come to a place, Father, you know all things. You know whether this is in my heart or not. I stand or fall. The temptation, the trial isn't the problem. The problem is my heart. What is there? and I'm at your mercy and grace. I have found that such a deliverance. Now, some of you may be doing that and have been doing it for a long time. It puts things in perspective. And then when I'm able to turn to the Word, I see it differently. I don't see it, well, you better confess this 10 times. Well, you better write this out or whatever, which we did. You start to see it in a different light. Because the Spirit is leading you. Now, I'm not talking about you've got to get a rhema from the Word of God, because some have taken it to that extreme. The whole Word of God is a rhema. It is a revelation, period. And so the Holy Spirit isn't quickening the Word to you. I mean, if you think about it, why do we now always need a word from the Lord to stand in our trials? It's actually giving away unbelief. It is actually revealing the inner man isn't really being touched. If God chooses to show me something in his word and everything, praise God, it's an added bonus. But I'm not scratching and scheming and panicking to try and get it. There's the difference. Why? Because everything is brought to you. Your salvation was brought to you. God's love was brought to you. The opening of our eyes was brought to you. This message today is brought to you. He will not have this striving, because striving is religious. It's works. And you know better than the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus said, if you like them, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So taking this a step further, the inner man, let's look a little bit at scriptures. Now, we're not talking about two natures here. Although there seems to appear that there is an outer and an inner, but it's just simply flesh and spirit that is in warfare. And we can choose, by the way we live and what we sow, what law we want in operation, whether death or life. Yeah. That is our free will. And with bearing that in mind, let's look first at Romans 7:22. Again, you know this very well, but it is applicable to what we're talking about. Romans 7:22, and here he says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." So, the word that I read, my fellowship, everything, I delight, I love it, I delight in the inward man, in the heart. However, there's warfare, there's temptations, there's trials, and in the flesh I still have to live in this life and in reality. But in my heart I love it, it's what I want. Notice where he's going, not the physical knees first, it's the inner man, it's the heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I mean, how could the apostle, who has gone through what he's gone through, can say something like that and make so light of it? Well, it tells me that he has learnt that it's from the inner man.
Yeah.
It tells me that his past is dealt with. And he's not about to let even his witnesses let the past come back in that sense, but stand on the victory every time. If you are in Christ and your pasts that loom up are a lie, you're just still at the moment listening to Satan's lie.
That's right.
But he was able to see through those trials that the inward man is being renewed day by day. And we tend to lose sight of that It means that you are being worked upon. You are being changed. You are different from when you rose up in the morning to the time when you put your head down at night.
Yeah.
I am different. And if you're led by the Spirit to say, if that's the last thing before you close your eyes, I'm different, Lord. Thank you. You've changed me. You're moulding. You're working with me. The point is, because it's the root, it's the inner man, we don't always see it. Like gardening. It takes so long. Oh, dear. You see, when you become born again, you become conscious of the inner man, the heart. That's one of the first things that start to come. But you don't understand also what's going on. You've got all these emotions. You've got everything. You know, it's like, what is this? What's going on? You know? It's the same with as we started to move from adolescence. Or entering into adolescence and gradually moving and becoming an adult. All these emotions, all these hormones started to kick in. Don't they? And this is why a lot of kids for a while do go off the rails, because they don't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to handle my early teens. There was all this change going on in me. I didn't understand it. And so you just do what you do. Well, let's take that over to the spiritual. You're born again. And suddenly you become aware of the heart. Don't understand it. Probably don't know it fully theologically. But you become aware. You become aware, if you're truly born again, and it doesn't take long, hey, there's battles going on here. Warfare. But God is getting to the inner man. What to do? To strengthen it. We're like babes, like children. We grow up. We're protected at first. So God protects us in a very caring way. Parental way, just like a mother does, that's nurturing that child. But the point is, we want that to continue, and God says no. We're moving on to the next thing. You can't keep having that breast milk anymore. It's served its purpose. We now have to start to go on to solids. And so we find we're starting to grow up,
yeah,
and mature. And so we become more aware of what spiritually is happening to us. Because this is what the apostle is praying here. He's praying for the Ephesian church, that they will understand about all of this growth. And in that understanding, with the Holy Spirit enlightening, showing them, they then won't waver and be up and down in the faith, but start to become resolute. He does exactly the same with us. We become consecrated. We're set apart to God. But perfect we're to be. There's that degree of perfection in this life that God is working and looking for. Again, the apostle is bringing that out. He's really bringing out that they will see and experience that perfected nature and heart that has been worked upon by the potter's hands, the master himself. But you can never know that unless you experience it and understand it and move into it. This whole teaching in deeper life is totally meaningless, unless at the end of this we receive, in God's mercy, the reward of experience.
Yeah.
Babes don't know this love, because their love is a love that's dependent upon the love of the parents. It's a selfish love. We're all children and we're all selfish. Me, me, I want. I want this, I want that. We all did it. But it changes. Let's look in John 14. John 14. We're speaking here about the work on the inner man. It is the heart, the outward side of man will come in that right time when the heart is ready. John 14, 20, 24. And that day you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Do you know that that is the longing of the bridegroom's heart? Is to manifest. I mean, it's there by faith, but to actually manifest himself. And of course, Judas then has his say and so forth. But there we see God wanting to manifest himself. And he says that anyone who loves me will keep my word. My Father. Well, what is the word? The word is Jesus. You love him. If you love Jesus, you love his word. You love his word, you love Jesus. You can't separate the word from Jesus.
That's right.
That is the mystery of the word of God. And that's why academics can't receive that one. Because it's still in their own human strength that they try to understand and learn that the word is God and God is the word. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine but the Father who sent me. Quite clear. So there are those that love the word and there are those that don't. But it's interesting, going back to Ephesians, what we're looking at here, back in 3, Ephesians 3, as we're looking at verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. And he says that you may dwell, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So we come back to the faith again. We come back at the end of the day, whatever the circumstances, whatever I feel, whatever I'm going through, I have chosen to believe it, settled, period. Now everyone has the power and capability, if you're in Christ, to say that, not by emotions, but by confession. Because sometimes it is a confession, which indeed brings possession. But it's based on believing faith. However, faith needs saints, and listen to this, faith needs saints to be rooted and grounded together in love. The faith for us to see the greater works can never ever accomplish those greater works if the body is not grounded and rooted in love. Agape fellowship. It's impossible. It's a contradictory. And again, the apostle prays this, that they will come to this realization, this understanding. In other words, we're planted in Christ's body by the Spirit. As I always keep saying, and I'll continue to say it, you are not here by mistake. It is a divine appointment. You have been placed in the body to function. In order for this body to mature and grow and be rooted and grounded in love. So that the church will minister in the last days, because that's one of her great commissions. Planted in Christ, his body. In love, fellowship, all these words that we use, but they can only be abstract if we don't experience them. There are times we find fellowship can be demanding. We find at times this fellowship where, oh, it doesn't seem to minister to me. Is nobody aware what I'm going through, how I feel? Isn't there someone in this body who's sensitive to my needs? I know it, because we're all human. It doesn't change the fact that God is working this body, being grounded and rooted in love. If faith is to work, and God is to answer our faith. And this is often the problem, because it's a lack of faith, There's not enough rooting in Christ and in the body, and so you get the turmoils. In other words, there are chinks in the armour. And chinks in the armour are always there because the body is not grounded and rooted in love and fellowship. Satan has a legal access to buffet a fellowship, a body, if that is the case. That's why we're all in unity and fellowship together. And my attitude towards fellowship, this body, interferes with this body. It either blesses it or it curses it. That's how serious it is. But faith has got to have saints rooted and grounded in love. It's not going to work otherwise. You can confess it till the cows come home. It ain't going to work. So we're planted in Christ's body for the very thing in which faith will work. And this is often the problem and lack of understanding faith today. It's not enough to be rooted in Christ, but also his body. You hear what I said? Don't make a mistake. It is not enough to be just rooted in Christ. You have to be rooted in his body also. Because his body is Christ and Christ is the body. You can't separate these up. But you've got some people who roam and go around from church to church. Oh, well, I'm rooted in Christ. And he in me? Not enough. Not enough. The bride to make herself ready must have baptized believers set in to the body to prepare her and for her functioning and her ministry and her perfection, that she may be raptured and courted for the marriage feast. This is not enough. Now, I'm not saying that, you're rooted in Christ, you won't make it into the kingdom of God. But the point that I'm making is that if you're hearing, or anybody online is hearing this, then something within you is going to want to be in Christ's body, to be in fellowship, grounded and rooted in love. You know, I know where you're coming. I know you will understand what I'm saying. But the analogy I can put to this, it's like a husband and wife who come together, who marry, but sleep in separate beds. And I'll leave you to the rest. We've come to be one and in flesh, in soul, in being, in unity with God. We are now of Christ's flesh, his body, glorified, raised. And that can only come if you are baptized into an intimate relationship with him that can only come in the body of Christ. Now, you tell me how many see that today. Blessed are your eyes and ears and hearts that you have heard such revelation. And so you see, our faith, promises, everything is dependent on the body. My life is dependent on the body as well as dependent on Christ. I can't separate any of it. It is what God has purposed for my life and walk in this world, to make it in to glory. And you cannot choose bits that you want and leave out the rest. You either take the whole of it or you leave it. And so some have been by the Spirit put to one side, and rightly so, to preserve them, protect them from otherwise being consumed or burnt up or never making it into the kingdom of God. And he's working to show that they are also dependent not only on Christ but the body as well. How he does this? Well, that is why we pray and intercede for those who should be here today but are not. And the Spirit will show you. There are some, sadly, who probably won't make it into the kingdom of God. And I say that with a heavy heart. But God knows all things. This is why the apostle makes much about the inner man. Unless the inner man is being changed, touched, renewed, your mind, your thinking will not alter. And you will fall every time. Don't even try starting resisting or whatever, because the devil's already got you. How many times have you in your heart tried to go into warfare and everything, knowing full well Satan's got a hold on you? Eh? I have. And until God's had to bring me to the end of myself, I've been trying to tell you, he ain't off your back. And you know it. And what is God doing? He does that to humble you. He does that to throw you yet more on him. And he does it to show that in his right time, he is going to deliver you. God has bound himself to deliver us if we are faithful to this. Whatever you go through, whatever your circumstances, you can rest assured, you can stand in that victory, you can, whatever you're feeling, Christ will not let me go. He has promised and he will fulfill it, he will do it. Because the bride must make herself ready. Father, thank you again. Thank you that we always need to hear the word. But Lord, you are showing us much deeper things now. And it's like, Father, yes, this starts to make sense now. It's what I've been aiming for. It's now dropped from my head to my heart. Lord, this is how you work. And we praise you, Father, for this. Because everything is by you and through you and in you. And that means that everything that is independent of you has to be dealt with. And that is what you're doing. And that is the inner man. So that our hearts change and conform to your perfect will. Because as you've said in your word, if you love me and keep my word, then obey me. And it is obedience at the end of the day that you require and want of us. But Lord, it's impossible in the natural. Man's anything but. But with you, all things are possible. And so Lord, I thank you again for our meeting. I thank you for bringing us together under your headship, under your banner. I pray you'll be with my brothers and sisters. Preserve, bless, keep them. Keep them, Father, from the evil one, from temptation. And Father, may they experience the inner man blossoming, maturing in your presence, that they may be able to achieve and accomplish the will of God in their life, and that they will overcome all things, even death. And so, Lord, I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun. Who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. And Jesus is his name, all power is given unto him, who has redeemed. Rushes onward.